This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Strange Harbor, online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange. The un... whatever we... The unbelievable, the unusual, the unstraightened.
The unstraightened.
The unstraightened.
Well, you took last week off, you know, and since we've been going at it since, what, December 2016, they figured they'd give you the day off.
Wasn't that nice?
Yeah. How you doing, Bill?
With pay, too.
Full pay. What? I never get full pay. So today, you know, we haven't really talked a lot about the psychic phenomenon and if it's even possible and some of the people that claim to do that kind of stuff and psychic mediums and people that talk to the dead. And what do you think about that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, and I've been involved with this paranormal world for a long time, since about 1989. I've met a lot of people that claim to be psychics, that claim to be mind readers, that claim to be able to communicate with the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the majority of them are fakers.
But still think some can.
Some, I think, are the real deal. I think there are some that can. I mean, I certainly sense the presence of people that have died. I can't necessarily...
Well, you're halfway there, so...
I've been there and back a couple of times. I think that there are people that have that ability to do that. I think they've honed that skill. They've noticed that they could do it, and then they practiced it. And they practiced and practiced until they got good at it.
Mm-hmm. But you still think it is possible?
I think it's possible,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I don't believe that everybody that stands up and says they can read minds or talk to the dead or whatever are the real deal.
John Edwards. Do you think John Edwards is legit, or do you think he's not? Okay, you think he's not.
But the Long Island medium.
That's the girl, right?
Yeah.
The pretty girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Depends on your perspective, I guess.
Well,
she's a good-looking woman.
She's prettier than John Edwards.
Well, a whole lot. Yeah.
See? She's a pretty girl. So you think she's legit?
I think so.
Like, with John Edwards, and I'm not picking on him, but I am picking on him. I'm using him as an example. A lot of the things that I've seen of his, it's like he's just guessing.
Yeah.
When he guesses wrong, he kind of changes the subject and moves so fast, he doesn't give you a chance to say, well, hey, you were wrong there.
That's what a magician does, sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Distracts you. And you know, if you meet up with some guy playing three-card Monty on the street corner.
There's one guy I've been researching, and I've reached out to him. Hopefully, they'll reach back with some interest in being on the show. George Anderson. I know you know this guy.
I do, and I think that just from what I know, I've never actually met him, but I know of him.
Yeah.
And I think he's the real deal.
I'm going to play a session for you of George Anderson. This is a phone call from a gal. He doesn't know anything about her or the deceased one or ones in her life. And she goes in just like anybody else would. Yeah, okay, well, let's see. You know, guard up, skeptic. And he's just wanting yes or no, yes or no.
Hello?
Hi.
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 Wait, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well. I'm going to turn you up, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you say something else?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's definitely better.
Okay. All right, so as long as I have the right number, let's begin and see who comes to visit.
Okay.
And away we go. Well, immediately a male presence comes forward. Actually, it looks like there's two more as well.
I think I should tease this a little bit, let you know what she's looking for.
Okay, go ahead.
Her brother, she was real close with her brother, and he died suddenly, so I'll let it continue.
And there's two females showing up. Well, beginning as they did, a male came forward, so I take it you understand?
Well, yes, I think so.
Yeah, I was going to just say to you, yeah, you're right. You're doing the smart thing. Just say yes so they hear your voice. They know they hooked in because we don't know who it is yet, but this will help build it.
Okay, so I'm sorry. If I talk, that person can hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so as I said, so a male presence comes forward initially, and, you know, like you thought it has to be somebody, so it's good that you just said yes. And this way they hear your voice and it starts to build. This I'm not sure about, but don't explain anything. One male comes, the younger one, understood?
Okay.
But the thing, well, it's okay, yes?
Wait, I'm so sorry. One more time.
One male, there's talk about one of the males being the younger one, understood?
Okay.
And that means yes?
Yes, that means yes.
Okay. Because, and I didn't tell you, in my point of view, anybody who passes on less than 70, I consider young by today's standards.
Oh, okay.
And my challenge to that is I have an aunt who turned 91 last week.
Uh-huh.
So I don't want people saying I'm stretching it too much. Cause
that's 91 is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and she's still going. Obviously has the longevity gene I see in the family. But, no, I'm 60. If I pass at 60, I'm going to consider that young.
Okay, we will too.
Yeah, so I was going to say I don't care what anybody says. But so this male definitely gives me that somebody was talking about the younger one. I'm assuming that's what they mean because they can mean out other things besides just that.
Okay.
For the moment, I'll just leave it with you that that's what they mean.
Okay.
Now, one of the males does come in a father manner, understood?
In a father manner?
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean dad.
Okay.
Father manner can mean that, but I have to wait until they explain. But to be honest with you, this male really doesn't seem to be a dad. Seems to be, I mean, more like a granddad.
Like a grandfather? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think one of your granddads has passed, and this one coming through. The fact that there's emphasis, without explaining anything, the fact that there's emphasis on father, possibly the paternal side, I would speculate.
Okay.
But for the moment, I'm going to say that and just leave it with you because I don't know for sure, but I'm just speculating that because of the emphasis on father.
Okay.
There's also talk of loss of a child, understood?
No.
They say yes, but they state before birth.
Okay.
Could have been your mom, whatever.
Okay.
I'm just throwing out possibilities. But the thing is, they did speak about a loss of a child, but they claim before birth. So apparently the soul must be there where somebody didn't make it to the finish line.
Okay.
And it's funny, they emphasize it again. I wonder if I misunderstood something. But, well, that's what I'm going to say for the time being and keep moving.
Okay.
Also. There is also a female presence coming as a grandmother.
Okay.
I'm sure her grandmother's passed. She does seem to specify, or at least give me the impression, one you might have known better.
Okay, yes.
Because the one that's coming forward gives me that impression that she knew you better, you knew her better, whatever the story is. There was one that obviously you had more contact with.
Yes.
Some more frequently as such that she comes because she also specifies being around very much like as a guardian angel. So she's there. Also, I just want to make sure I didn't mistake her, but also a woman coming in a motherly manner, understood?
Yes.
Wait a second, because I'm a little mixed up, because I'm trying to figure out, could it be... No, one lady does come as mom, yes?
Okay, yes.
The real McCoy?
Yes.
That would mean the actual mom?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what I want to make sure. Now, also, at the time, what confused me is there was talk of a mom-grandmother, again, that maternal side. So without telling me anything, either this grandmother is the mom's mom, the one you knew better, or it just so happens that it's her. It's on the maternal side because then your mom was brought up.
Yes, that's correct.
This is your mom, though, yes?
Yes.
Okay, because if she's coming, I mean, I have to assume that because you're at the other end of the phone, but
She's coming as the real McCoy. That would mean the actual mother to me.
Okay, yes.
So apparently, her and her folks have passed also, yes?
Yes.
All right, so apparently she's coming forward with her own folks, and there's the other grandfather. It seems like all the grandparents are there, understood?
Yes.
Yeah, because the thing is, there's talk about your father's parents and so forth, and now, oh, that could be where I misunderstood. Your mother called Dad again, but your dad is still here?
Yes.
On the earth?
Yes.
That's why I'm glad I didn't pay attention, because she must have been coming through and was calling to him, and because I was about ready to start to think your dad had passed, and somebody said, no, you're doing it wrong, so I backed off from it. But apparently your mother calling to your dad and family, and she states that he's here. So without telling me anything, I'm assuming somewhere on the planet.
Yes.
And so she calls out also. Now, there is a young feeling with your mom, so let me just say this. Without telling me anything. Either she passed over young by today's standards as I would see it, or, you know, there's just that young at heart disposition or such.
Yes.
Because I mean, she could have been...
I'm going to pause it right there quickly. Is he just taking wild guesses, does it seem?
Well, you know, the way this works, those spirits just don't speak English. They don't talk to you in a way that's easy to understand. They kind of give you pictures and they communicate in kind of an unfamiliar language.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to take what the spirit gives him and try to put it into
try to interpret
words,
it.
Interpret it and put it into words. So he has to ask questions and present things. Now part of it is it's a process of elimination. And you can kind of see that going on. But he's getting the impetus to move in a certain direction from that spirit. So he's not only hearing from the subject, the woman, but he's also hearing from the spirit what to ask or what to say. But I wish I could describe the way these messages come through. Because they're not just English language messages.
Now, see, this is what's confusing me, and of course you can't explain anything, but there again is the talk of loss of a brother.
Yes.
I think I've got more than one person, though, because somebody also is talking about loss of a brother and then claims he's an uncle. So I'd have to speculate one of your folks lost a brother or brother-in-law.
Yes.
As well. But there is an actual brother, yes. Understood?
Yes.
Yeah, because somebody keeps coming to you as a brother, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So I've got two males here who are both sending out the same signal. One claims he's a brother, and then he stated he was an uncle. I'm assuming he means to you without helping me.
Yes.
And, again, brother, brother-in-law to one of your parents.
Yes.
All right, because he states... But, see, that's what's bothering me. Somebody keeps saying he's the actual brother, which makes me kind of think that you lost the brother also.
Yes.
Because I must have two. There must be two males here. The one identified as an uncle. The other one keeps stating he's a brother. Then he stated he was the actual brother. I have to assume that you lost the brother also.
Yes.
Because he also... keeps bringing me back to the beginning of the session when there was talk of loss of a child, yes, before birth, but an actual loss as well. And your dad's still on the earth, that would justify somebody saying, I'm the son, I'm the child, passed on because the parents are still here.
Yes.
Does come very close to you, yes?
Yes.
You know, at least from over there, again, don't say anything, I don't know what your relationship was, but certainly from over there, I will say he does come very close to you.
Yes.
And he definitely passed young, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't say how old, but certainly younger than me, as he's telling me.
Yes.
In a rather joking manner. He said, oh, I'm a lot younger than you. So I'm like, well, that's fine, as long as you're right.
Okay.
Now, he speaks of, definitely thus far, he does, certainly seems to have a nice personality, understood?
Yes.
You know, he kind of cracks me up.
Yes.
You know, it, you know, the way he said to me, the Lord was a lot younger than you, like, ha-ha, making fun of me, you know, because of the fact, you know, I'm 60, and I said, you know, that's all right, you know, as long as you're right, that's all I care about. Now, he speaks of tragic passing, yes?
Yes.
Age, of course, but circumstances also.
Wait, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
He said age, of course. He spoke of tragic circumstances.
Yes.
In regards to his passing, but in the sense of age, most definitely, but also in circumstances.
Yes.
And funny, he also states he knew he was going to pass on. I don't think he came up and announced anything, but obviously when he got there, realized he's where he's supposed to be, so to speak. But it's not significant, you know, it's not a big deal, so let's just leave it alone and keep going. But definitely, in case you've wondered, him and your mom together over there, as he states, along with the grandparents. Yeah, your brother does speak of a tragic passing, yes?
Yes.
As he brings up, he does show me a ballpark. That normally means it comes out of left field, understood?
Yes.
So apparently sudden or unexpected.
Yes.
You know, again, I don't know what your relationship was. I'm assuming, without telling anything, that it was significant, because certainly does reach to you as a pal as well as a brother.
Yes.
And hopes that you'll agree with him that as long as you know him and your mom are together, it doesn't cure anything, but you'll sleep a little better tonight. And again, the same thing with him. He does reach out to your dad, but is reaching out to you very singularly because, you know, sometimes people may not think a bereaved sibling, you know, has it as bad as the parents do, but, you know, certainly knows that a lot of times you may kind of not know how you're supposed to feel.
Yes.
Yeah, because I had my best friend lost his brother at a young age, and, you know, when people see him, they'll say, like, how are your parents doing? You know, and this was, you know, his favorite brother, his best friend, and all of that. So sometimes, you know, people, they mean well, but maybe don't get it to that degree. So your brother brings all that to my attention in regards to you.
Okay.
He did describe, without explaining anything, he did describe his passing as accidental, yes?
Yes.
Because, again, comes out of left field, and he seems to pass one moment to the next.
Yes.
Also, just wants to make sure you know he didn't suffer at the time of passing.
Okay.
In spite of how unattractive it might have looked or sounded. He definitely brings that up as well. Yeah, he does speak of it being accidental, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, and he, without explaining anything, he brings up no one's at fault, no one's to blame. Understood?
Yes.
Yeah, it just, he describes it as accidental and then he says that. So, again, keep in mind, he's coming to you assuming you know what he's talking about. You don't have to tell me, but as long as you get it, that's all I care about.
Yes.
Also states he has come in dreams, yes?
I don't understand.
Well, he says he's visited you in dreams. If you're not sure, I got to cut him rope on this one because you just may not remember. I mean, I dreamt last night. I can remember bits and pieces, but I certainly can't remember everything. So let me just leave it with you that he states
okay.
he has come in dreams.
Okay.
But in the future, if you do recall, as long as there are always comforting visitations, that's genuine communication, anything that upsets you, never pay any attention to it. You know, you can certainly have anxiety over it as well.
Okay.
Also, he did speak of injury to the head, yes?
Yes.
Because it felt like I got tapped on the head here. And obviously, then he spoke of injury to the head, so apparently injury to the head. And then he snapped his fingers at me, which would mean, you know, one moment to the next.
Okay.
But they do, because your brother certainly does embrace with love along with your mom. And you know, that they are all right and a happy place. You know, brother especially hopes he'll take some of the bite off, that as long as you know the two of them are together and that they're all right. But with that, they pull back along with the other people, and with that, they sign off, and there they go.
So this gal read his book, knew it well. She wasn't surprised by his accuracy or depth of info, but what shocked her was George relayed not only her brother's specific word usage and said the words with your brother's exact intonation. What say you?
It's hard to pick up all the intonations if you don't understand the language. So when a psychic starts to communicate with spirits, they're learning that language. They're learning how to interpret the language, to interpret not only what's being said, but how it's being said. This guy, I think this guy's the real deal. I mean, he's getting yes and no. Obviously, he's doing a process of elimination, but he also indicated he's getting multiple inputs. So he was getting inputs from the mother, the brother, and the uncle, and maybe even grandparents. So the reason he's doing this process of elimination is to try to get to the one that she wants to hear from or wants to understand. So he does this process of elimination by eliminating those other voices. So he's like tapping into it's almost like tapping into a radio frequency.
He could be just guessing, right?
He could be. Yeah, he could be just guessing. And he could be asking leading questions that are leading to some conclusion. But if you met somebody on the street and you wanted to talk about their dead brother, if you even knew they had a dead brother,
mm-hmm.
He didn't know she had a dead brother.
Correct.
So,
Or a dead mother.
So how would you go about finding all that? I mean, just by asking yes and no questions. And could you do it in as short a period of time as he did it?
So anybody could really do what he did deceitfully, like me asking you the same questions just by kind of feeling things out from what you tell me by yes or no.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I'll tell you what, with stage psychics, usually when a person goes into these shows, they have a number of people that have filled out questionnaires
mm-hmm.
before the show. And then they have a guy behind the scenes who's gone through all the questionnaires, and he's going to tell the psychic who to call. So the psychic's going to do one of these things where he puts his fingertips on his temples and
yeah.
he's thinking.
But he's got an earpiece in.
He's got an earpiece. And the guy behind the scenes says, you know, call on Karen Smith.
Yeah.
And she has a dead brother.
There was a televangelist that was doing that.
Yeah.
That got caught.
Yeah.
He's still in business. He filed bankruptcy, but now he's back at it doing it again. Same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Anyway, it's Strange Harbor. If you have any input on George Anderson or the psychic mediums talking to dead people, log on to strangeharbor.net. Coming up, reincarnation.
Mm-hmm. That's a big topic.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird and... how you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. Hanging in there, you know.
Do you believe you've been an Arabian prince in a past life?
Not an Arabian prince, but maybe some other kind of prince. I don't know.
Here's the deal. This kid is talking all, as soon as he can talk, about how he was a pilot in World War II. And all these circumstances lead up to one of those mind-blowing things.
From the very beginning, Carl Eden was different. Born in 1972, he was the third child of Val and Jim Eden of Middlesbrough, England.
He was the most difficult of them all as children. awkward. So much so that I used to say to him, if I can find out where you belong, I'm sending you back. He drove me absolutely crackers.
Carl was different from the other members of family. His brother had dark hair and dark eyes. Carl had strawberry blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yes, Carl was different, but it was what he said as soon as he could talk that really made people wonder.
He started to come up with sort of things like, I died before, I crashed my plane into a window, as he used to say. And of course, we didn't take much notice of that. We thought it was daydreams or boys' fantasies.
Then, at 3 years of age, Carl Eden made a startling statement. He said he used to be a pilot in the German Air Force, a pilot who crashed his plane after a bombing mission in World War II. All of this sounded far-fetched, coming from a toddler. But according to Dr. Ian Stevenson, the director of personality studies at the University of Virginia, Carl's claims were consistent with other reincarnation cases he studied.
References to the other family, the parents, are quite common in these cases. And Carl seemed to have a fairly clear image of another mother.
I felt strange when he did mention about his other mother. But he described her as being plump and very, very bossy, with this very dark hair that she pulled back at the back of her head. But when he was quite naughty, I used to threaten to send him back to her.
Stevenson and his team began studying Carl's case in 1983. They were fascinated by the pictures the little boy was drawing before the age of five.
We used to notice that he was drawing mainly the cockpit of a plane with all the dials and gauges. And when we asked him about those, he would tell us, each and every one, what they were, where the bombs were let go from the floor. He always said he fired the bombs. That was his words for it.
Carl's father, Jim, wondered so much about his son's unbelievable claims that he decided to do some research of his own.
And I'm trying all the time to catch him out, to fault him. And he came out with, he said to me, he used to fly, I think he said, a Messerschmitt 110. And I said, well, you failed there, Carl, because a Messerschmitt, as far as I was concerned, was a fighter plane. And I called at the library on the way home from work and looked up a book on German aircraft of the last war. And basically, the plane he'd said was a bomber. And he said he always used to fly a bomber.
What made Carl's recollections even more interesting to researchers was the fact that the five-year-old had virtually no access to information about Germany or World War II.
There's no way he could have picked any information up in the house. I was born after the war. I wasn't a great watcher of war films. I didn't have any war books or war planes in the house.
According to Carl's mother, the one time the family did watch a film about World War II, Carl immediately pointed out the movie's factual errors.
It was one night we were all sitting watching a war film, and Carl just piped up, he's like my sergeant when I was in the Air Force, but he's got the badge on the wrong side of his uniform. So we didn't say anything, but Jim was there, and he went to the library, had a look, and of course he was right, the badge was on the wrong side. There were so many things that pointed to it being right as time went on, and it was just so uncanny.
While Carl's stories already seemed beyond belief, it wasn't long before he made the most incredible statement of all. The youngster claimed he remembered his own violent death.
I crashed a plane into a building when I used to drive my plane. That was the way he used to say it. And he said he lost a leg and he bled to death.
By the time he was nine, Carl's astounding story was documented in a book about reincarnation. In one passage, Carl recounted in chilling detail his fatal crash. He said he was flying at low altitude and lost consciousness. He came to just in time to realize he was plummeting toward a building. He made a desperate effort to avoid the collision, but it was too late. He smashed through a plate glass window. After the book was published, English newspapers jumped on Carl's story. But according to his best friend, the publicity made Carl a target of ridicule.
Carl was treated differently at school. The other children used to mock him by calling him Hitler, Nazi, German pilot, and used to do the signs, the saluting, and said that he was making stories up just to get in newspapers.
And by the age of about 9 or 10, you just stopped talking about it.
Typically, as the children become older, they stop speaking spontaneously about the previous life, and sometimes you can't tell whether they've just, as we say, gone underground or have really forgotten.
So, was Carl Eden the reincarnated soul of a German pilot who crashed his plane in England?
So, what we have right now, little boy growing up, saying these silly things, how he was a pilot, but then he's starting to get real descriptive in what he's saying that he's done and seen. This is before the internet age. He doesn't have access to anything, not even around the house, you know, like Encyclopedia Britannicas or anything that would have any of this information.
Yeah, even other books about that.
They watch this old film and he's like, oh, the sergeant has his badge on the wrong side. And they're like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And they went and looked it up and they're like, oh, he's right. It was on the wrong side.
Yeah.
So then he gets to the age, he's starting to get teased, so he just clams up about it. That's where it went. But you thought that was weird. Besides him remembering how he died, saying how he died, it gets even more strange.
When Carl Eden was a young boy in England, he shocked his friends and family by claiming he'd led a previous life as a German bomber pilot in World War II.
At first, it struck me as strange, because I never heard stories like this before from other friends.
It wasn't in jest or in fun. He was so serious about it. And he wanted people to take him serious about it. And obviously, a lot of people didn't.
People call him names, Hitler, Nazi, just names like that. They'd mock him and try and bring him down.
By the time Carl grew up and had a child of his own, he stopped talking about the strange life he said he had lived before. Carl's parents and friends always hoped that someday he'd be able to explain his extraordinary past. But that day would never come. On a hot August night in 1995, Carl's life came to a violent end beside these railroad tracks.
When I learned of Carl's death, I felt shocked. I felt numb.
During an argument with a co-worker, Carl was stabbed repeatedly. At the young age of 22, Carl Eden bled to death, just as he had predicted more than a decade earlier.
I felt numb because what Carl had told me in childhood, that he was going to die bleeding to death, and he won't live a very long life. He will die before he's 25.
As uncanny as it was that Carl foresaw the time and circumstances of his own death, his incredible story doesn't end there. 2 years after Carl's passing, authorities in Middlesbrough, England, found something that stunned them. Less than half a mile from the railroad tracks where Carl was killed, workers digging a pipeline unearthed a German bomber from World War II. Honorary German consul John Knight helped oversee the excavation of the downed aircraft. He found himself deeply puzzled by the similarities between the newly discovered bomber and the stories Carl had told of his previous life.
I by no means am a great believer in the paranormal. At the same time, there are elements there to be explained, and I can't explain them.
John Knight wasn't the only skeptic drawn in by the growing mystery. Hans Mondorf, the German consul general for England, also found the story strangely compelling.
The workers discovered under a mound, which was next to the railway lines, a bomber plane from the Second World War, which had been shot down in January 1942.
According to Val Eden, it was the very year that Carl said his previous life had come to an end.
Carl used to say that he died in 1942, and that was a big shock. When we found that plane, it came down in 1942.
According to authorities, the plane had once carried a crew of four. At the time of the crash, three bodies had been found.
That's the numbers identified. Yeah.
Now, searchers discovered the last of the crew members. His name was Heinrich Richter.
They found indeed the remains of the fourth missing person, and that was reported to me in December 1997.
Was it really possible Carl Eden had some connection with this German bomber and the victim found inside? The coincidences were so startling, authorities began looking into Carl's claims.
He said that he had been on a mission over to England, had been shot down, and that he had fled to death in the remains of the plane.
When that plane came down, it came down nose first, and so the impact would have shattered all the glass front, and no doubt the crew would have all suffered from glass fragments and breakages around them.
Over and over through the years, Carl had described in detail the shattering of glass when his plane crashed to Earth. There was more. The age of the recovered victim was strikingly similar to Carl's at the time of his death.
The body whose remains we found now, Heinrich Richter, was 24 years of age.
And when Carl was murdered, he was only 22.
And sort of this sends a cold shiver down you.
That was very eerie, but amazing, to say the least.
The only solid bit of metal about it.
The next discovery was even more mysterious. Authorities found a ring that the German airman had been wearing. The ring bore the letter P. Was it possible that the ring belonged to someone in Heinrich Richter's family?
Carl always maintained he had a brother who was also in the Air Force but died before him, called Peter.
Authorities tried to reach the family of the German airman, but no relatives were found. As a result, he was buried in this cemetery in England. Carl's parents attended the funeral service.
We felt as though when we were at that second funeral, we were burying Carl again.
I remember that the wife saying to me, when we attended this German airman's funeral, that now we've put Carl to rest in his previous life as well as this life, and we hope that that will be the end to it now.
So was Carl Eden the reincarnated spirit of a German pilot? Those who are closest to this bizarre saga are still haunted by memories of the little boy who was sure he had lived once before.
I say I'm a skeptic, but I think at the end of the day, I recognize that there are an awful lot of strands which come together.
Something unexplainable remains which nobody can clarify. I can't tell you, of course, that Carl Eden was the reborn Heinrich Richter, but he was involved somehow in that story of the bomber crew and probably of Heinrich Richter.
I think it is quite possible that when the plane did crash, that Carl was in it, and he was reincarnated. I believe what Carl was trying to tell us was actually true.
How crazy is that?
Well, that's pretty crazy, but, you know, I've heard lots of stories like this, and I think there's some validity to them.
Well, yeah.
You know, I think that, because we can prove it. I mean, we can go back, and we can see what this young man was talking about actually happened. You know, and I think for some people, I'm not sure why, these memories of past lives are far more vivid than, you know, than for others. But
so why do you think he was able to, as a boy, remember anything from a past life?
Well, I think we all do, but we don't put the pieces together. I think it comes to us in little bits and pieces, and we don't put it together. For some reason, this young man got lots of pieces, lots of bits and pieces, and was able to assemble them in a way that made sense, and then talk about them, and even, you know, demonstrate what he was learning about himself. This is like what we talked about interpreting the spirit. For some people, it's hard to interpret those images. And for other people, they just kind of automatically know it. I think I probably lived another life, and I was somehow associated with Leonardo da Vinci. Because I've always been interested and obsessed. But I've never been able to put together all the pieces of who I was or where I was. For some people, like myself, it may not be as easy to take that information and make sense of it. But for other people, like the young man in this story, he was able to assemble this information into a viable story, into a viable reality. And then they were able to prove that reality, or at least maybe not prove it absolutely, but...
Mm-hmm. But the coincidences are...
Yeah, prove it within, you know, within a certain percentage, you know, 60, 70, 80%.
So why do you think he didn't go on and stay on the other side like the spirits that George Anderson allegedly speaks to? Like, her brother is over there on the other side saying, hey, remember me? But this little boy is reincarnated. Do you think you're given a choice? Do you want to go back as another person? Or does that make sense, what I'm asking? How come her brother didn't get reincarnated, and he's over there on the other side dead, or at least his physical body's dead, and he's over there, he's not reincarnated as somebody else?
My belief, and, you know, I don't have anything to really substantiate this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
That's why it's a belief.
Well, it's a belief, but it's based on, you know, personal experience and personal knowledge, is that the spirit has choice. It mm-hmm. has a certain amount of choice. Not only whether or not to come back, but, and not in every case. I was talking to someone a while back about this, and they said, well, my daughter died, but I didn't have a choice in whether that, you know, she came back or not. Or if she had a choice, why didn't she choose to come back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, then you start blaming yourself. But spirits, just like human beings, are all different. They all have different characters. They know different things. They have different levels of knowledge that they carry with them. If his spirit felt that it needed to come back and relive another life, then it could come back and insert itself into this young boy and live that life. And the spirit has choice to do that. A friend of mine once asked his 4-year-old daughter, they were talking about spirits, and that she had said that she's familiar with her spirit. And he asked her, well, when you came into this world, did you choose us or did we choose you? And without hesitation, she says, oh, I chose you. It was my choice. And I believe that that's... Spirits have choice. They can choose who to inhabit, when to inhabit, based on what they need. It's fulfilling a level of knowledge and education for themselves, as well as fulfilling a knowledge and education for us as human beings. What we have with reincarnation, then, is the re-entry of that spirit into another being. It could even be the spirit of a dog or a tree or something
mm-hmm.
that reintroduces itself, because spirits grow and they evolve as they learn, just like people do. So if that spirit that died in that plane crash in World War II felt that it needed something else, that it wasn't fully at rest, or maybe it needed to help them find this plane and discover those bodies and identify them. So that spirit may have entered that young man and done everything it could to communicate and bring about these memories, so that the young boy, through the course of his life, and you would obviously ask, well, you know, why start as an infant and have to grow into an adult before you can fulfill your task? For the child, that's a long time, 20-some years. For the spirit, it's just a few moments.
Yeah.
So, the spirit can enter basically anything it wants. I think the older and wiser the spirit, the more wiser its choices. The less experienced, the younger spirit. You know, we've had people say, you've probably heard people say, you know, that person has an old spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe, and again, this is my own personal belief, that spirits are born of energy, and that they grow and they evolve and they develop. Now, a spirit could live the equivalent of billions of Earth years. And I think that at some point they eventually die. So when we talk about the Spirit of God, we may be talking about a number of different spirits who have become the top spirit, the most enlightened spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you reach a certain level as a spirit, you probably stop inserting yourself into other living beings, and you start to evolve into this energy of light that is extraordinarily enlightened, extraordinarily knowledgeable, and probably, it's hard to describe in the terms of the English language, because we don't have words for this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have words for how a spirit evolves. So, if we think about just growing up as a human being, that spirit is the same way. It's born and it grows and it learns things along the way, and it becomes knowledgeable. And the more it grows, the more it advances. Now, the spirit, unlike human beings, live much longer, and they don't die in the same way because they're not made of the same thing. We are carbon-based creatures, entities. The spirit is a light-based entity. So it has more freedom to move and to insert itself into other living things, things that may not live anywhere near the length of time the spirit does. In fact, in the sense of the spirit's overall lifetime, that may be just, could be even be a matter of seconds. You know, it's a quick encounter. But for us, it might be, you know, 80 years. I'm going to be 70 years old next year.
Dang!
I've carried this spirit with me for that long, but to the spirit...
Yeah, that's young.
It's nothing. It's a short period of time. When I had my near-death experience, I was told by the other spirits that I was communicating with that when I return, I will basically return at the same time I left.
Hmm.
That means that in the spirit world, little time will have passed, moments. But in my life, decades have passed. So time is different, time and space. So when we talk about reincarnation and the spirit reinserting itself, it has a purpose. And it exercises that purpose by allowing that human being to have thoughts and memories of previous times, of a previous life. That's my interpretation of it. I don't know that there's any hard facts. I've not really studied reincarnation a lot. I've heard a few lectures, talked to a few people about it, but the reality is that we have no understanding of the spirit world. Very little. I mean, I've been there a couple of times, and I still have very little understanding of it.
If you have been to the spirit world and would like to share your experiences with us, just log on to strangeharbor.net and click on the little contact form there and share what you got with us, because we share what we've got with you.
That's right.
If you'd like to listen to past episodes, if you'd like to throw a suggestion, if you got feedback, if you want to yell at Bill for his new age hooey, just log on to strangeharbor.net, and in the meantime, we'll be back here on KBKW, 4 p.m. next Sunday.
Be strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange.